You got your Bibles tonight, and I hope you do. We're going to start at Mark chapter 16. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 16, not Mark. And I think before we start there, I have a question for you. Who do you say Jesus is? Because who you say Jesus is determines what he's going to do for you. Okay? Who you say he is going to determine what you get back from him. You know, a lot of the world, some people have called him a prophet. Some have called him just a man. There's even a religion, or so-called religion out there that says he was just a man that became a god like we can. And I won't mention what that religion is, but it's out there. Amen? There are some people that have said he was just part of a big hoax. A big hoax used to control the masses. Then there are those that say he's the Son of God, but they stop there. They don't acknowledge him as God himself, God incarnate, as being equal with God. And then there was Peter, who said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Well, we need to be like him. But Peter got that by revelation. He didn't get it by some man coming up and saying, "This is Jesus, the Son of God." And I can sit here tonight and show you all kinds of scriptures and tell you who he was, but unless you've gotten it by revelation that he is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, you are not going to get from him everything that he has for you. Matthew chapter 16, let's start there. Verse 13. Now I've got New King James because I prefer to read from that. And let's go to verse 13, excuse me. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16. Verse 13. I'll get it right yet. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" That's interesting. Right there in his question, he told them who he was. So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." See, even back then they were calling him everything but what he was. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And I'm going to sit here tonight and tell you that unless God shows you that he is the Son of the living God, you don't know who Jesus is. It has to be by revelation. I can tell you the day, the time, and the hour that God revealed himself to me and revealed his Son to me. I'll tell you exactly what I was doing. I was sitting in my office at work. I was in the middle of a conversation with Brother Tim Lee, who some of you know and some of you don't. And I was not a Christian at the time. And in the middle of a sentence, not the middle of a conversation, the middle of a sentence, God spoke to me. And revealed himself to me. And revealed his Son to me. And I'll tell you right now, from that moment forward, my life changed. I'd heard about him. I'd read about him. People had told me about him. But he had not been revealed to me. And just reading the scriptures won't necessarily reveal him to you. You have to open your heart and you have to ask God to truly reveal him to you. And just because you've prayed the prayer and asked Jesus to come live in your heart, I'm sorry, that still doesn't mean that you know him. That doesn't mean he's still been revealed to you for what he really is and what he really can do for you. You have to have that just like Simon Peter did, by revelation from God himself. See, because just to say that he's the Son of God isn't good enough. He's more than the Son of God. He's God incarnate. He's God himself. And I'm going to show you that. And you have to realize that he is, in fact, God in order to get everything that he has for you. Amen? Everything that he's done for you. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, the world out there, they don't understand who he is or what he's got for them. I was one of them. I used to take and try to discredit the Bible myself, just like some people I know do today. Oh, that's just a book written by men. What makes you think that's really the truth? Because God revealed it to me one day, that it is his truth, and that everything that's in it was written, yes, by man. Men moved upon by the Holy Spirit to write what God wanted them to write. Amen. You can't take facts or science and prove that this Bible is true. However, they are finding that a lot of the things that are in here have come to pass, just as it was said they would. In fact, the earthquake and the tsunami that we just had is prophesied in here. That particular one, no. Earthquakes and famines and wars and rumors of wars, when these things come, then the end is near. We're getting more and more earthquakes all the time, and they're getting worse and worse. Famine is spreading over more of the world than it ever has before. Wars are going on in more countries than they ever have before. I don't like to be a bearer of bad tidings, but folks, I believe the time of the end is drawing near. I don't think it's bad news for us, because we aren't going to live out the tribulation. We're not going to be here. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 1:18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness. Now, what's the message of the cross? Jesus Christ and him crucified. For me. Okay, for you. For us. That's the message of the cross. Death, burial, and resurrection. Because without the three, we don't have anything. That's right. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. That's the world. That's those that don't know him, that haven't called on him. They're perishing. They may not think so. They may be living it high on the hog right now, but they're perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The message of the cross is the power of God. Mm-hmm. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Or where is the scholar? That could read. Where is the disputer of this age? In some versions, the word disputer is replaced with a philosopher. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know God. Through all the knowledge that there is in the world, you can't know God. You cannot come to know God by being the smartest man in the world. You can only come to know Him through revelation of who He is. For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who have wisdom.
No.
Those who believe the message of the cross. Amen? So, you can debate it all you want to out there, world. I don't care. And I've got people that like to debate it with me. But I don't debate with them. I tell them, it says so here, I believe it, and that settles it. Because I was one that used to try to discredit this myself. You can't. I don't care how much you try to disprove it. This is going to happen. Everything it says in here is going to happen. It's going to come to pass. And there isn't a thing science and the wisdom of this world can do to prevent it. Except they better hang on. Because on the day of judgment, if they haven't made the right decision, they're going to go for the wildest ride of their life. And it'll never end. It'll never end for them. The most important question you can ever ask yourself is, who is Jesus to me? That's the most important question you can ever ask yourself. And once you get the answer to it, you have the answer to anything and everything that you need in life, both here and in heaven. Once you have the answer to who He is to you, I want to backtrack just a little bit. I said in the beginning that Jesus was God and that you need to know that. And you need to understand that before you can actually acquire everything He has for you, because a lot of the stuff that the Bible says is yours comes through God. But it comes through Jesus. Okay? Very simple. Go over to John chapter 1. St. John, for those of you that... St. John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning. When?
In the beginning.
In the beginning. Verse 1, obviously. In the beginning was the Word... And the Word was with God, and the Word was helping God. The Word was God. Did you ever wonder why the Word's capitalized there in that sentence? It's because it's a proper pronoun, or a proper noun, I should say. It's describing somebody. Because notice verse 2. It goes from the Word to He. He was in the beginning with God. Who's He?
Jesus.
The Word. Who's the Word?
Jesus.
God. He was in the beginning with God. All things that were made through Him. Who's the Him?
God.
God. He. The Word. Mm-hmm. We haven't changed. Still talking about the same thing. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made.
That's right.
Everything in the world, everything you see around you, everything you can taste, touch, feel, smell, or hear was made by Him, the Word. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's a synthetic plastic that man thinks he made. Sorry, it was made by Him. Because if man hadn't been made by God, the plastic wouldn't have got made. If man hadn't acquired the knowledge that God allowed him to acquire, to work with the chemicals that he took from the earth. Gee, where'd those chemicals come from? He made them. Amen? Let's go on. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. The darkness is the world, people. Mm-hmm. Those around us. Okay. So in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now, just so that you don't... Just to prove to you that that Word actually made everything. Genesis chapter 1. Mm-hmm. Says... And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over all the earth, and it was void and without form. And then it says, God said, God said, God said. 9 times, God said. And then it says, and he saw everything that he made, and it was very good. Now, there's nowhere in there that it says he picked up a pair of scissors or his toolkit or something else, and made what he made. He said. He spoke the word. And the word made what was made. Okay? God was the word. The word was God. Okay? I think it's important that you understand that. That shows you that the Word and God are the same. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. And God became flesh in the form of Jesus, in the form of humanity, by virgin birth to Mary, dwelt among men. So Jesus, we've verified Jesus is the Word. We've verified that the Word is God. So whatever you need, you can get through Jesus. Whatever you need. Whatever you want, as long as it's in line with his word, you can get through Jesus. What do you need? Go over to John chapter 14. Let's stop at verse 9. Or start at verse 9. Yeah, let's stop at verse 9. Let's start with verse 9. John chapter 14. Jesus is talking to Philip here. Philip had just asked him how to show him the Father. And Jesus said to him, I have been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. A little more verification that Jesus is God here. Mm-hmm. He himself said so. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? In other words, he was questioning Philip's belief here. Do you really believe in me? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak to you on my own authority. But the Father who dwells where?
In me.
He does the works. See, the Father was dwelling in Jesus himself. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else, believe me for the sake of the works themselves. In other words, could a mere man do what you've seen me do? Verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you, He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. What do you need? Jesus will do it for you. Ah, but he also said you could do the same works he does. Even greater works. If you know who he is. Let's read that again. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. He who believes in me. Well, in order to believe in him, you have to have revelation knowledge of who he is. What he is, what he's done for you. Okay, let's read a couple more verses though. I said, what do you need? Whatever you need, ask him. Verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And it wasn't good enough for him to say it once. He repeated it. Mm-hmm. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, I really don't see any qualifiers there in those verses. If you ask anything in my name. But I do believe that he meant anything in accordance with the Word of God. Because obviously you're not going to go out there and ask for things that don't line up with the Word and expect to get them. But if it lines up with the Word of God, all you can do is ask. If you know who Jesus is. If you've properly discerned who he is for you. Praise God. He's the Word. He's God. Ah, he said, ask it in my name. I'll do it for you. The Word will do it for you.
I thought the word ask.
The Word will do it for you.
Mm-hmm. The
Word will do it for you. Mm-hmm. Is there an echo in here? Take a look at Isaiah chapter 55. Mark, you almost pulled this message out of me Monday night because I'd already been working on it. The Holy Ghost had already been giving it to me. Isaiah 55.
Praise God.
The Word will do it for you. Whatever you need, the Word will do it for you. Chapter 55 of Isaiah. Let's look at verse 9. I always like to back up a verse or two and get into context. Actually, I'm going to back up to verse 8. One beyond my notes. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Setting the stage. He's setting the stage for you. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that for which I please. And that thing, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Now, that's the Word. That's Jesus. Who's going to send the Word forth? God's in me.
That's right.
If I speak his word, I can send it forth.
Amen.
And if I speak it in accordance with his will, mm-hmm. it has to accomplish that which it's sent forth to do. Mm-hmm. It has to. It cannot return void. It says so in his word. Mm-hmm. Who do you say Jesus is? What is it you want? What is it you need? Do you need healing? Do you need healing? Speak his word. Exodus 15:26 says, I am the last part of the verse. Says, I am the Lord who heals you. Now, if you read the whole verse, there's some qualifications. You know. Old Testament. Psalm 103, 3 through 5. Psalm 103:3. Well, I got to start one. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. How can you skip that? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Okay? Here's his benefits. Who forgives all of your iniquities. Who heals all of your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Gee, there's a little more than healing there. There's forgiveness. There's healing. There's redemption. There's loving kindness and tender mercies. It sounds to me like there's food for the soul, food for the body. Sounds like there's even renewal of the body. Hello?
Hello?
Renewal so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Are you feeling old?
No.
Are you feeling worn down?
Are your feathers falling out?
He'll renew you. He just said so. Amen? Choir and Psalms 107. verse 20. He sent his word. Uh-oh, here we go again. There's that word going forth. He sent his word and he healed them. And he delivered them from their destructions. Healing and redemption. With just the word. My servant lies sick in bed, near death. But I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. Just speak the what?
Word.
And my servant will be healed. Centurion knew who Jesus was to him, even if he wasn't born again Christian. I'm sorry. He had revelation from God of what Jesus was, who he was, and what he could do. Very clear. Just speak the word. Amen.
Verse 19 to 420. Pretty powerful.
Okay.
Verse 19 to 420. Pretty powerful.
Yeah. Isaiah again. Okay. Isaiah 53 this time. I love it. They're both fighting for which way to go in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 53. This one you really have to understand because I believe it really leads to receiving your healing from him if you're believing for healing. 53 verse, it's all good. Well, let's start with verse 3. He is despised. Who's he? You have to understand, first of all, that the book of Isaiah is all about prophecy concerning Jesus. Okay? So he's talking about Jesus here. He's prophesying before Jesus ever came to be. Mm-hmm. He is despised and rejected by men. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Now notice, it's not past tense here because Isaiah is prophesying of things to come. It has to be, actually, not future tense. It's actually the tense that's happening as we progress. He had to go to the cross for us. Amen? And then, in the New Testament, 1 Peter 2:24. It's Isaiah 53, 3 through 5, but it's 1 Peter 2:24. Yeah. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that having died to sins, were you crucified with Christ? It's the only way you died to your sins. That having died to sins, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. Past tense now. It's already happened. Not waiting for it to happen anymore. If you were healed, you are healed. Doesn't matter what your body's telling you. Doesn't matter what the doctor's telling you. Those are only symptoms. Whose report will you believe? To quote Isaiah again, I'll believe the report of the Lord. Doesn't mean there aren't symptoms. Doesn't mean they aren't there. But I'm healed by his stripes. He's taken care of that already. 2,004 years ago. Almost 2,005. You need prosperity. Is that what you need? Oh, everybody needs prosperity. Genesis, here's one that probably a lot of you never even saw. Genesis 24. Old Testament prosperity. We have a better covenant, but we need to look at some of the old ones. Because I'll tell you the truth. Verse 40, Genesis 24:40. I'm going to believe for this to happen to me. Genesis 24:40. But he said to me, "The Lord before whom I walk." There's a qualifier right there. Okay? "The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way." Gee, Old Testament. I got a new and better covenant. I'm going to believe God for an angel to walk before me and prosper my way. Now, I have to walk before the Lord to expect that to happen. Amen? Qualifiers. Genesis 39. Genesis 39. This is really good. Verses 2 and 3. "Now the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Whoa, wait a minute. Joseph was a slave, but he was a successful man? How dare us ever think that God isn't taking care of us? Are any of us slaves to anybody but Jesus? Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. But the Lord was with him, and he was a successful man. He was so successful. Look what verse 3 says. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Or to say it in today's terms, everything Joseph put his hand to did good. Everything. So much so that he became second in command to Pharaoh over all of Egypt and all of the Pharaoh's treasury from being a slave. I'd say God made him to prosper greatly. Amen? That's Old Testament. That's not even the covenant I'm living in. Malachi, last chapter in the Old Testament, just before Matthew. That makes it easy to find. Oh, and this is one of my favorite verses too. Especially if you have a New Living Translation. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. We use it in offerings all the time. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Storehouse means the church of God. Amen. Mm-hmm. And try me now in this. And you know what? That's the only place it says in the Bible you can try God. Mm-hmm. It's the only place. You will not find it anywhere else. One verse. You do your part. He says, you can try me. And see, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing, there will not be room enough for you to receive it. Is there anybody here tonight that has run out of room to put your blessing in?
Blessing.
How come you haven't? How come you haven't run out of room?
I haven't tried God.
He says he'll do it.
That's right.
Must be our fault. Mm-hmm. We must not really yet know who he is and what he'll do.
That's true. That's good.
My fingers are pointing both of them at me. I'm not pointing anything at you guys. We must not know who he is and what all he's done for us yet. It's not his fault. I can see that clearly. Mm-hmm. Now, interestingly enough, if you got a New Living Translation, that says, I will open the sluice gates.
Oh, really? The what?
Sluice gates.
A big wooden gate that opens the trough of, like, for water.
I'll tell you what, sluice gates are bigger than windows. Sluice gates are what's used to control the water flowing out of dams. And I went and looked it up. I looked up the Hebrew words there, and it could have been interpreted sluice gates very easily instead of windows. King James and New King James chose to use windows. There's a whole list of things in there, and they all are very powerful openings. Amen? Prosperity. That's all Old Testament still, though. That's still Old Testament. How about 1 Corinthians chapter 16? This is another offering message. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. You need prosperity? Come on, here it is. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. On the first day of the week, let each of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper. Okay, I got New King James. If you're reading King James, it says, lay something aside, storing up as God has prospered him. King James gives the credit properly to God for doing the prosper. New King James kind of just makes it read easier. Just as he may prosper. Well, I know anyways that God gave man the ability to get wealth, so it had to come from God. But King James says, as God has prospered him. Amen? That there be no collections when I come. God wants to prosper you beyond your wildest dreams. You can't do the things he wants you to do if you aren't prospered. Amen? And one more. We all know this one, 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. 3 John 2. You need forgiveness? Or you need to understand forgiveness? You need to be able to forgive. He's got forgiveness for you too. 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. Personal working scripture. All of you are qualified personal workers, right?
Yes, sir.
You should know that.
Yes, sir.
You're not qualified personal workers? We have a class on the 16th of January. It starts. Oh, good plug there. She didn't ask me to do that. She didn't pay me either. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, Lord, thank you, God. You know what he just said to me? He just reminded me how far he throws those sins. Psalm 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so shall I throw your sins. I don't know if any of you understand longitude and latitude and north and south or not, but apparently God did when he wrote his Bible. Because if you're at the North Pole and you go south, eventually you're going to go north again. But if you go on the equator and you head east, you never, ever travel west. And you can go all the way around the world. And you're still traveling east. It only works east to west or west to east. It does not work north and south. God knew that. 103:12. I hope that's right. I hope that's right. I didn't look it up. I'm going by what he said. I think it, I'm pretty sure it is, though. Psalm 103:12. Now you get. Okay. I mean, he has to do that. He has to remind us of things like that. As far as the east is from the west. That's how far he's thrown your sins. In other words, infinity. In other words, infinity. Because if you travel east and try to get west, you're never going to get there. Infinity. That's how far he's thrown your sins. Once you ask him. Don't you ever bring him up again. Because he's not going to. Amen. You need forgiveness. 1 John 1:9. How about Acts 15? I mean, Acts chapter 5, sorry. Acts chapter 5. Hey, just touching the surface on these things. I mean, there are scriptures all through the Bible on any of these subjects. But they only work if you know who Jesus is to you. They don't work because of your works. They don't work because you go to church every Sunday. Going to church every Sunday doesn't make you a Christian. Just like standing at McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. Some people think it does. They're suing McDonald's because they turned into a hamburger because they ate so many of them. I'm being facetious. They got fat, they sued McDonald's for eating at McDonald's every day. Does that make sense or what?
You are what you eat.
Okay. Acts chapter 5.
It's true.
Verse 30. Let me see if I can find the right one here. Acts chapter 5, verses 30 and 31. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus. Now, we just had to read that so we know who we're talking about. Whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Boy, he's not cutting these guys any slack, is he? Him, this Jesus, God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Who do you say Jesus is? He's everything I need. He's my all in all. He's not just Lord and Savior. He's my healer. He's my prosperer, or my prosperity. He's my forgiver. How about one more? Acts chapter 13, forgiveness. Acts 13, verses 37 and 38. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. Not through religion, not through the scriptures, not through confirmation classes, but forgiveness of sins is preached through Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The message of the cross. Foolishness to the world, because they don't understand it. Why would some guy want to die on a cross for me? He didn't want to. He got to. Well, he did want to. He knew what he was doing. He knew if he didn't do it, we'd never be set free because we couldn't do it for ourselves. And you got to remember, he wasn't looking at the cross anyways. He was looking beyond. He was looking at all the sons, all the daughters that was going to happen because of what he was doing. How about justification? You need to be justified?
Yes.
Verse 39. Right where you're at. And by him everyone who believes is justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Or you could read it this way. Who could not be justified by religion or by the Ten Commandments, however you want to call it. That's what the law of Moses was. You break one, you break them all. That's what it says. There's a man going that doesn't break one of them, so sometime, at some point in time. Well, you broke it, now what? Too bad, you're done. Uh-uh, I live under Jesus. I got grace, I got mercy, I got forgiveness. Justification, by the way, means to be made in right standing before God. You need to be justified before God. You can't do it on your own. Can't do it through works. You can only do it through Him. Amen? Okay, how about Romans chapter 3? Talking justification. Freely given. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that was where?
In Christ Jesus.
Where's redemption found? Who do you say Jesus is? Thank you, Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, when He laid this message on me, whom God sent forth as a propitiation by His blood, through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness. Because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Because of the blood of Jesus. Just like the blood sprinkled on the mantle during Passover. That same blood, that blood of Jesus sprinkled on us, causes Passover. Yeah. Romans chapter 5. Verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you have faith? How are you justified?
By faith through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Say again, not by works.
By faith.
Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
That's awesome.
God and Jesus, one and the same. Verse 9. Same chapter, verse 9. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Not only are we justified, we're saved from wrath. The wrath appointed to men isn't going to fall on the sons of God, on those that believe in Jesus, on those that have been justified by His blood. One more. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Still talking justification here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. Everybody there? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 11. And such were some of you. Oh, sounds like he was pointing the finger. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. Well, there's another one. We're sanctified by Him too. The difference between justification and sanctification. Man, there's a difference. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You know, a little while back I read that Jesus said, believe me for the works that I do, because the Father is in me. Mm-hmm. Amen. Jesus said, the Father's in me and I'm in Him. You're going to love this. This isn't even in my notes. Holy Ghost is wonderful. God's in you. All of God is in you.
Amen.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
That's right.
All three. You're the three in one. Second Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10.
Oh, that's
good. Anybody got an Amplified Bible?
Yeah.
You need to read it in the Amplified. I don't have an Amplified. Colossians chapter 2. Can I borrow your... I almost brought mine and didn't. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Oh, you're going to love this. For in Him, we're talking Jesus. For in him the whole fullness of the deity, the Godhead, that means Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, continues to dwell in bodily form. So we're talking about Jesus when he walked as a man, just like you and I. For in him the whole fullness of the deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature to Jesus, which is just what he said. Father's in me and I'm in the Father. I do the works. The works that I do, he actually does. Okay, but verse 10 says, and you are in him, in Jesus, made full and having come to fullness of life in Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. You, not Jesus, reach full spiritual stature, being filled completely with the Godhead. And he is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power. My Lord, what do you need? Who do you say Jesus is? I'm going to be bold. I'm not Jesus, but he's in me. And everything he has, does, makes available, I have available in me. Now, there's one minor problem. I have to learn how to make it flow. I have to learn how to tap into it. Thank you. And pull it out and make it work. But it's there. To those who believe, to those who have received Jesus, all the fullness of the Godhead resides in you too. That's hard to fathom.
It is. But it's possible.
You're walking around with God inside you. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Do the people around you know that?
Yeah, they do.
That's what's important. See, Joseph, thank you, Holy Ghost. Joseph was so full of the Lord, working in and through him, that his master could see it.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
That's a good favorite.
I want to be so full of God that everybody that comes near me can see that he's in me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not see me.
Yeah.
See him that's in me. And I believe it's happening because I have people at work that are coming to me and asking me for prayer and asking me to do things that would not come anywhere near somebody that was a Christian before. But they're seeing God working through not just me, but some of the other Christians that meet at work. And they're seeing God's results through them. And they're saying, there's something there. That stuff works.
Yep.
They don't know it, but they're up on the fence.
Right.
And if they're not careful, they're going to fall.
Right.
You know.
In love with God.
God's playing with their hearts. He's softening their hearts. And once it gets soft enough, he's going to reach in and pluck it. Because the harvest is going to be ripe then. And how's he going to do it? He's going to use us. Who do you say God is? Who do you say Jesus is? Who is he to you? What do you need? What do you want? That's who he is. Hebrews 12:2 says, he's the author and the finisher of our faith, the beginning and the end. And he blew the Pharisees away when he told them before Abraham, I am. You're only not even 50 years old. How could you have seen Abraham? He said, before Abraham was, I am. Because he's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. Because he was in the beginning with God. Obviously he was before Abraham. He just wasn't in his bodily form. Lay people that don't believe in spirits and spiritual beings wouldn't understand that. He was a spirit then. Mm-hmm. Just like God's a spirit. That's why God can be in you in his fullness, because he's a spirit being. Every single cell in your body is full of him. Not just a little spot. He fills the entire shape that we are. Probably oozes out the pores, you know. At least I hope he is. That way people
know. I hope so too.
He's whatever you need him to be. Who do you say he is? I'm telling you, that's the most important question you can ask yourself between now and eternity, is who is Jesus to me? Amen?
Amen.
Who is he to you, Mark?
He's my everything.
It better be anything that you need.
My everything.
That's it.
But he becomes
praise
more
God.
Of...
Who do you say he is?
The faster it gets done.
No?
Everything, yeah.
And... if you've never thought about it before, at least you've called on him. Well, has God revealed him completely to you, what he is and what he can do? If he hasn't, pray. Ask God to do it. Because once he reveals him completely to you, now you have the ability to start tapping in to everything that's yours. Notice I said yours. Because everything that's his is mine. I'm an heir. I'm a joint heir. Joint heir has rights and privileges. Amen? I don't care if I'm grafted in. As long as I become a joint heir, I'm a joint heir. And we've been grafted in. We're not, you know, I don't think any of us are true Jewish people here. So.
We're adopted in.
We're adopted.
We're adopted in.
Praise God. I hope you guys got something.